Imagine a near-perfect monopoly, an absolute fortress of a business. Now, I want you to imagine that the exact mechanism driving its massive structural growth is simultaneously and quite violently, I might add, drowning half of its paying customer base.
Yeah, it is. It's really the ultimate paradox in modern financial architecture. I mean, you have a rising tide that is explicitly designed to lift your ship, but that same tide is actively suffocating the very passengers you rely on to pay for the fuel.
Right. Well, welcome to today's deep dive. We're getting in some really fascinating research today from the Averaging Up collection, and specifically, we're dissecting the financial engine behind MSCI, which, you know, builds a lot of the foundational context for the frameworks explored in The Infinite Investor.
Exactly.
And we aren't just doing some standard dry balance sheet breakdown today. The mission here is to figure out how a deeply entrenched financial infrastructure actually gets stronger while its main customers are dying.
Right.
It's a phenomenon the collection calls the migration of a toll.
Yeah, and to understand how that survival works mechanically, we really have to look at a moment of just startling transparency from the top of the company. So late last year, MSCI's chief executive, Henry Fernandez, sat down for an interview.
Okay.
And he described his business with a level of candor that you just rarely get from a public company CEO. He laid out the reality of their revenue model, saying that 75% of the company's revenue arrives as subscriptions. You know, just a flat fee paid for the regular delivery of data and value.
Which, I mean, that sounds incredibly stable on the surface.
It does. It really does. But then he dropped a detail that, frankly, most executives would have buried deep in some obscure financial footnote. He said that half of those subscription revenues are sold directly to the active asset management industry.
Wow. We need to pause and really unpack that for a second. Because if you are listening to this and you know anything about the overarching trend in modern finance, you know that active asset management is under siege.
Completely.
The great structural ways driving the MSCI narrative is the passivization of investment.
Yeah, and let's define that clearly for a moment, just so we're all on the same page. Passivization is this historic migration of literally trillions of dollars moving away from active stock pickers, you know, the fund managers who try to beat the market by selecting individual stocks.
Right.
And it's moving toward passive index trackers. These are the funds that just blindly buy the whole market, like in the S&P 500 or, well, an MSCI World Index Fund.
Right. So if you're listening right now and you've ever, say, moved your retirement money from a high-fee, actively managed mutual fund into a low-cost passive ETF,
yeah,
you actually participated in this exact macroeconomic wave without even realizing it.
Exactly.
You essentially took money away from a human trying to beat the market.
Yeah.
And gave it to an algorithm that's just tracking the market.
Yeah, and historically, those active managers, the humans, picking the stocks, they would take a hit during an economic downturn, sure, but they would eventually recover like 80 or 90% of their losses when the bull market returned.
Because investors would bring their money back to chase the higher returns.
Right, exactly. But not in this current cycle. By the CEO's own admission, those active managers have not recovered. They are actively being squeezed out of existence by cheap indexation on one side and then by wealthy investors moving into alternative private assets on the other.
So they're getting hit from both directions.
Yeah. So the very wave that feeds the MSCI toll road is actively drowning half of the people who pay the toll.
I mean, I have to say, I don't buy that entirely, or at least I don't buy how the market is supposedly missing it. Because if I am running a business and half of my core subscriber base is literally evaporating because of a trend that I am helping facilitate.
Yeah.
Wall Street usually punishes that instantly.
Yeah.
I mean, if your customers are going bankrupt, that's an existential crisis, right? It's not a hidden structural advantage. Why isn't the broader market absolutely crushing this stock right now?
Well, the market has certainly tried. The hesitation you're describing is exactly why the stock has largely traded sideways for 4 years. Yeah. Investors look at the active management industry, they see the massive capital outflows, they see the compression of management fees, and they price MSCI as if it is facing this massive existential threat. They are obsessively watching the pairs die.
But they're missing something.
They are completely ignoring what the toll road itself is doing to adapt to that death. The collection puts it perfectly about. They are watching the erosion of the shoreline, but they are completely missing the bridge being built directly above it.
You know what this reminds me of? It's like a 19th century railroad.
Okay, yeah.
The railroad didn't care if a specific coal mining company went bankrupt or if a specific agricultural shipper went out of business, mm-hmm. as long as people at the end of the line still needed coal and wheat moved on those tracks.
Right.
The track survived the miner. Or, actually, think of a modern payment network like Visa. They have outlived waves of specific regional banks that issue their credit cards.
Yeah, that's a great example.
The network survives the bank. The toll can be completely irreplaceable, even if the people paying it are temporary.
That historical parallel captures the mechanism perfectly. The question a business like MSCI must answer is not whether its active management customers will survive.
Because we know they won't.
Exactly. We already know many of them will not. The structural question is whether the toll can migrate. Can the business catch the capital after the customer dies?
So how do they do that?
To understand that, we have to look at the flaw hidden inside the market's fear. When a dollar leaves an active stock picking fund, that dollar does not just evaporate into thin air. It simply changes windows.
Let's trace that dollar because the mechanics here are just fascinating. So it exits a client, let's say a traditional mutual fund manager, who is paying MSCI via a flat annual subscription fee.
Right.
That dollar then re-enters the financial ecosystem through a passive index fund.
Yeah.
But here's the critical distinction, right? That new index fund does not pay MSCI a flat subscription fee.
No, it pays MSCI in basis points.
Right. And we should probably clarify the math on basis points for anyone listening who hasn't worked directly in asset management.
Sure, yeah. A basis point is simply 0.01%. So when we say MSCI is getting paid in basis points, it means they're taking a tiny fractional percentage of the total assets under management.
So instead of sending a flat monthly bill for data, MSCI is suddenly taking a literal slice of the actual money moving through the system.
Exactly.
The payer expires, but the asset itself, the actual capital, stays inside the ecosystem.
Yeah, and the market is judging MSCI by the health of the active industry, which, going back to your analogy, that is like judging our historical railroad by the health of one specific class of shippers, while completely ignoring the fact that the total tonnage of freight rolling down the line just keeps rising year after year.
Right.
The toll's fate isn't tied to the profit margins of the stock pickers. It's tied to the $21 trillion globally that is benchmarked to its indexes.
$21 trillion. And the mathematics of this bridge we're talking about are just incredible. Because we aren't just theorizing about whether this migration might work someday. The averaging up collection points to 16 years of hard, empirical evidence proving that the bridge is holding strong.
Yeah, the company actually discloses both ends of this financial migration, which is great because it allows us to track it with precision. So let's look at the concept of a run rate.
Okay.
A run rate simply takes the current revenue and projects it forward for the year, giving us a snapshot of the business's current speed. If we look back to 2010, the subscription revenues, which were overwhelmingly sold to those human active managers, they were running at more than twice the speed of the asset-based fees on the passive side.
Wow. But over the last 16 years, the math is completely inverted, right?
Yes.
The subscription run rate has compounded at 11% a year.
Right.
Meanwhile, the asset-based fees on the passive side have compounded at 14% a year.
Exactly. Those asset-based fees have grown from $118 million to $872 million. The toll has silently moved its primary collection point from the eroding shore to the rising shore.
And it did it like 3 percentage points of compounding at a time, largely unannounced to the casual observer.
Yeah, and the most impressive part of that data is that it never once went backward. Even through the absolute worst stretch the active management industry has ever endured, the new shore has compounded faster than the old one.
So the total run rate of the business is still growing at 12% a year.
Right. And that solves the primary risk of a structural migration, which is the threat of a massive revenue gap while you were crossing the bridge.
Well, let's look at the runway left for this migration, because the volume of capital still waiting to cross is staggering. You mentioned $21 trillion benchmarked to MSCI indexes.
Yeah.
Nearly $14 trillion of that is still actively managed against them.
It's massive. $14 trillion is sitting inside actively managed accounts, measured against the index, but not yet invested directly through a passive index vehicle.
So two-thirds of the total migration remains to be completed.
Yep.
And it is all sitting captive inside the toll's own house.
Exactly. Every single dollar of that $14 trillion pays the toll via a subscription fee on the way over. And then eventually, when it crosses the bridge into a passive fund, it just keeps paying the toll and basis points on the other side.
Wait, I have a major, a behavioral question about this.
Sure.
If you have $14 trillion sitting on this dying shore with active managers who are getting squeezed out of existence, why aren't those managers acting like a besieged army?
What do you mean?
Well, If I am an active manager fighting for my professional life, dealing with clients pulling their money out, and my own management fees are getting compressed, my first instinct is going to be aggressively cutting my overhead.
Right.
So why aren't they canceling their wildly expensive MSCI data subscriptions just to survive the squeeze?
Because the besieged cannot leave.
They can't.
No. And this specific dynamic is what elevates MSCI from just an interesting paradox to a bulletproof structure. Despite everything we just laid out regarding the slow death of active management, MSCI just hit a record 95.3% client retention rate in their latest quarter.
A 95.3% retention rate during what basically amounts to an extinction-level event for that specific client base that is staggering.
It really is. It's actually higher than it was a year ago. And more crucially, it is higher than it was before the active industry was under this kind of pressure.
So why do they stay?
The explanation for why they stay circles back to something else the CEO noted. The industry needs the benchmark more when times are tough. I mean, an active manager fighting for survival actually requires the benchmark data more desperately than a manager operating in a fat, happy bull market where everyone is just making money.
Oh, right. Because they have to prove whatever tiny sliver of outperformance they still have to their clients. If your clients are threatening to pull their millions and just dump it into a cheap S&P 500 ETF, you have to be able to show them exactly how your specific risk profile, you know, your volatility and your returns, differ from the broader market.
Yeah, you literally cannot have that conversation if you cancel your subscription to the benchmark data. They need the proprietary risk models to defend their portfolios to institutional allocators.
That makes total sense.
And let's also consider the primary escape hatch the active industry is currently trying to use, which is active ETFs.
Right, let's break down what that means for a second. An active ETF is an attempt by these stock pickers to survive by basically changing their packaging.
Exactly. They are trying to take their active strategies and wrap them in the tax-efficient, easily tradable wrapper of an exchange-traded fund.
Because traditional mutual funds can trigger capital gains taxes for investors, even if the investor didn't sell their own shares, right? Yeah. Just because the fund manager was buying and selling inside the fund.
Yeah, whereas ETFs have a structural mechanism that largely avoids passing those taxes on to the investor. So active managers are fleeing into this ETF structure to offer a better product.
But to build and launch those active ETFs, they have to run them on the exact same index infrastructure.
Yes. So MSCI is positioned as essentially the arms dealer to both sides of the war.
Wow.
They collect from the passive flood taking over the valley, and they collect from the active resistance trying to build walls against the flood.
So they sell to both armies, and mathematically, it does not matter which one wins the war. The toll collects either way.
It collects either way. But, you know, this forces us to ask an important question about the boundaries of this entire financial ecosystem.
Right.
We have established that MSCI has captured both the active and passive armies in the public equity markets, the stock market. But at the margins, that public market edge is eroding.
Right. Institutional capital is drifting heavily toward private assets.
Yeah. Companies are staying private much longer before going public, if they ever do at all.
Yeah.
I mean, a massive corporate loan that 20 years ago would have become a publicly traded benchmarked bond is now born as a private credit facility funded directly by private institutions.
So capital is flowing away from the public rivers entirely. So how does the toll adapt when the money doesn't just change windows from active to passive, but leaves the building completely?
This requires us to completely reframe MSCI's recent strategic push into private assets.
Okay.
The broader market often views a legacy public market data provider moving into private equity or private credit as a standard diversification play. You know, they see it as a defensive move to hedge against the erosion of the public market.
Right.
The Averaging Up collection argues this is fundamentally incorrect. It is not diversification. It is geography.
I love that framing. It is not that the toll road is retreating because the old public roads are crumbling. It is that they are building the very first paved roads into a wild, completely unmapped wilderness.
Yes, exactly.
They are stepping into a massive continent of capital that has never been cartographically surveyed by a central benchmark.
Because most of the global economy's true capital base was never inside any public benchmark to begin with. It wasn't money that escaped the ecosystem. It was territory that was just never mapped.
Right.
MSCI's massive undertaking in private assets, acquiring niche data sets, building complex valuation models for illiquid assets, it is explicitly designed to make the unmeasured investable.
So they are building the infrastructure so that institutional capital can actually benchmark private credit, and private equity the same way they learned to benchmark emerging markets in the 1990s.
Precisely. It is the exact same crossing we discussed earlier, just carried one shore further. The toll is extending its road into territory that has never paid anyone.
They're making sure they capture the asset before it even has a chance to reach the traditional public river.
Yeah, and let's look at what all of this structural superiority actually means for the real-time pricing of the asset.
Yeah, let's talk about the market.
Because we have this virtually bulletproof structural migration, we have a captive audience paying on both sides of a macroeconomic war, we have an expansion into the unmapped continent of private credit. So how does the broader stock market, operating on a frantic quarter-to-quarter basis, process a structure that compounds quietly decade by decade?
Well, with profound, almost algorithmic misunderstanding. And the most recent third quarter earnings report provided just a perfect real-time demonstration of this disconnect.
It really did. Let's look at the actual numbers MSCI reported for that quarter. Asset-based fee revenue, which is the destination shore of the passive migration, that accelerated by a massive 26.6%.
Wow.
Subscriptions are supposedly eroding shore still grew by 9%. The total run rate crossed $3.5 billion, up 12% overall. Earnings per share jumped 18.5%.
And retention hit that record high we discussed.
Exactly. The migration was not merely persisting, it was rapidly accelerating.
I mean, those are absolute fortress numbers. Any CEO would kill for that kind of quarterly report. But how did Wall Street react?
The market panicked. The stock sold off 11% before lunch.
11%.
Yeah, Wall Street erased roughly a tenth of the company's total multi-billion dollar valuation in a matter of hours.
But why? I mean, if the structural migration is accelerating that clearly, and the profits are up almost 20%, what was the trigger for an 11% haircut on the stock price?
A 2% revenue miss compared to analyst estimates.
A 2% miss caused an 11% drop.
Yeah. The stated causes were that sustainability and ESG products, which are, you know, the one decelerating line item right now, they grew slightly slower than anticipated. Furthermore, management raised its expense guidance marginally, in part to fund new acquisitions that extend the toll into physical climate risk modeling.
So the market took a minor 2% miss on revenue, driven largely by future-proofing expenses, and priced it as an 11% existential failure.
Exactly. The market read the quarter, but it completely missed the migration.
Which brings us to the final and perhaps most ruthless piece of this financial architecture. When the market drastically misprices a structural acceleration as an existential failure, how does a company structured like MSCI weaponize that mistake?
Yeah.
Because a traditional manufacturing company might just have to sit there and take the hit. But a toll road operates differently.
It does. And this ties back to a concept the collection previously explored regarding the price of free growth. MSCI is a business that carries free growth to its absolute mathematical limit.
Let's break that down.
Think about the capital requirements of a pure data and indexing toll. It requires almost zero heavy reinvestment. If you run an automotive factory and you want to grow your production by 20%, you have to build a new factory, buy new machines, and hire thousands of workers.
Right, that costs billions.
Exactly. MSCI is just data. Serving their index to one more billion-dollar fund costs them practically zero additional dollars. So what does a business like that do with the massive compounding rivers of cash it generates every single quarter?
It relentlessly repurchases its own shares. It literally devours its own balance sheet below zero. Let's do the math on this, because this is where the value is truly created for the long-term investor.
Yeah, watch how that buyback mechanism operated during the specific earnings panic. Going into the quarter, MSCI was actively repurchasing its own units in the mid-$500 range. They had well over $1 billion in buyback authorization approved by the board, just sitting there locked and loaded in cash.
Okay.
Then the earnings report drops. The market panics over a tiny 2% revenue miss and drops the unit price drastically.
So the panicked market is blindly selling off shares at a steep discount. Wall Street is running for the exits. And who is standing on the other side of those trades, happily buying up every share they can get their hands on?
The toll itself. The morning of that 11% drop, the market was offering units at a price well below what the company had been happily paying just days prior. And MSCI was the only buyer in the entire market that already knew exactly how strong the quarter actually was. They didn't have to guess if the migration was holding. They had the internal dashboard proving asset-based fees just grew 26.6%.
This is the self-devouring loop of value creation. Every single percentage point the stock drops allows that billion-dollar pile of cash to buy back even more shares.
Yep.
And when a company buys its own shares and retires them, there are fewer total slices of the pie remaining. So the remaining shareholders instantly own a larger percentage of the entire migration. And that increase in ownership was entirely funded by the panic of the sellers.
Exactly. The payers of a toll are mortal. They will slowly fade under the passive wave. The market prices the health of those payers quarter by quarter, reacting frantically to the erosion of the active industry.
But the toll itself compounds its position decade by decade by collecting on both sides of its own wave.
Right. The index will ultimately outlive the active industry that first made it necessary.
So the CEO saying the industry needs us more, that wasn't a boast. It was a cold, structural description of a business that is building a bridge faster than the ground beneath its customers can collapse.
Very well said.
So, as you look at the major macroeconomic shifts happening in your own field, in your own industry, I want you to ask yourself a strategic question. Are you just watching the old payers die, obsessing over the erosion of the shore? Or can you identify the silent toll that is actively building a bridge, moving its collection point, and preparing to outlive everyone who ever paid it?
It's a great question.
This content is educational and reflects a personal analytical framework. It does not constitute investment advice. Visit averagingup.com.